Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
That's right. It is the Next Fan Up podcast, the podcast for the fans by the fans. And it is I, Josh, your Detroit Lions super fan. And today, a little bit different episode. I am happy to be joined by not only my co-host today, James, our Texans fan. But James, you're also the co-host or co-pilot of our co-owner of our Next Fan Up Dynasty fantasy team as well. How's it going tonight?
It's going a lot better than our dynasty team is. although that you've made some moves, you're getting it back in the right direction. So it's we're trending in the right direction, and hopefully that will just be kind of a precursor to what's going to happen tonight.
That's right, man. Good momentum, some positive roster churn, and we're definitely going to try to churn out some good content for you guys, the listeners, today. We have a Super Bowl 52. This is your sports better edition of the Next Fan Up podcast, and we have, of course, if you haven't heard, the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles in a game with a 48.5 point total. And we have kind of an exciting a treat for you guys. We have special guest Chris Cheon. You may know him from WTOP in Washington, D.C., and also from Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio, where he's a producer for what seems like all the shows. Dude is just a grinder. It sounds like Chi has some exciting moves going on here with a couple of other providers that you may be familiar with as well. But he will be joining us to give us his favorite prop bets here toward the end of the show. And basically, we're just going to go ahead and dive right in, James. We want to make sure that kind of the listeners, before we get all crazy, want to make sure that they kind of know exactly what's going on before we start throwing around lots of gambling jargon and the like. So we will go ahead and swing it to you, my friend. Go ahead and take us through this game here, the Patriots and the Eagles in Super Bowl 52.
Yeah, so as of today, you know, you'll always hear the money line or the spread, and so those are different things. So the Eagles are right now favored by 4.5 points, and you may be thinking, well, man, it's hard enough just to score 1 point in football. You know, why do they get a half a point? And that's just to avoid ties. And, as gambling has become much more mainstream, even over just like the past 3 to 5 years, I think people are starting to realize, you know, what that half point is for. You don't exactly want ties. And it doesn't exactly express, you know, the Eagles are, or, you know, the Patriots are 4.5 points better than the Philadelphia Eagles. It's you're trying to, or Vegas is trying to generate even amounts of money on both sides. And that's because the way that they get paid is they take a little bit of a cut, which is usually called the VIG. And so if you look at a prop like the coin toss, which is a pretty popular coin toss, and you're going to see a number in front of it, and most places will say something like minus 103 or minus 105, which, you know, doesn't really make a lot of intuitive sense, at least the first couple times you see it. And what that's saying is how much money, at least on the negative side, you would have to bet in order to win $100. So if you see minus 105, minus 110, minus 115, that means you're going to have to bet 105, 110, or $115 in order to win your $100 back in addition to the $100 you placed. Then on these 50-50 bets, you'll see both sides, you know, yes and no on a coin toss will be minus 105. So that means that if Vegas gets equal number on both sides, they're going to take a 5% cut from both of them, total of 10%, and that's how they get paid. You can go online and that number drops a little bit, you know, Bovada is not running their own giant, you know, MGM Grand sports book with all the TVs and, you know, somewhat free drinks and people walking around actually banning those ticket stations. So, you know, they can work on a little bit smaller margins. So that covers what happens if there's a negative number, but what happens if there's a positive number? So like, you know, a plus 300, plus 400, that one's a lot easier for most people to get. That's just what you would get paid if you bet $100. So we're going to get to a couple, you know, later in the show, but if you see like plus 225 or plus 300, if you put a $100 bet down and you win, you get your $100 back plus, in the case of plus 200, plus $200. So it's a really weird way. It's an American way. You know, if you go overseas, you'll see numbers like 2-1, which, you know, that's how most people understand gambling. But no, that's the basic terminology around that. So you can do a straight bet, which is just, I'm going to bet on one thing, in this case, heads or tails on a coin flip. You could also do a parlay. What a parlay is a series of bets that you've strung together, and every single one of them has to win in order for your ticket to win. The cool thing on this is you can string together a bunch of 50-50 bets, and you know, you may be able to make a much smaller bet, say a $10 bet or a $20 bet, and be able to get, you know, 20-1, 30-1 odds. Of course, the downside is that every single one of those bets have to pay off. So you figure if you get 5 50-50 bets, you know, you're going to have, you know, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32 times your original bet out there, but all five of them are going to have to hit, which it's pretty tough to get all 32 of them or all five of them to win. What you'll see a lot of times is people will parlay like a very big negative number, like a negative 400 or a negative 300, considering that that would be a very safe or considered a very safe bet. And they'll parlay that with like a plus 110 to just kind of bump the odds a little bit higher. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And then what's become a bit more popular is this like if win or if loss or if draw bet. And it's similar to a parlay bet, but it's basically you can string together a sequence of bets, and that next bet only fires off if your first condition is met. So you can say, you know, I want all five of these bets to go, or maybe all four of these bets to go, but only if I win the first three. And so that's a way to kind of, you know, cut your losses a little bit. So maybe you want to bet on, you know, the Super Bowl MVP. You want to bet on the first touchdown. You want to bet, you know, the first half total and the second half total, but you don't want to sit there and plunk down, you know, $50 every single time. You can say, I want to bet $50. If I win, bet another $50 or bet the entire thing. Again, you don't have to bet the entire thing, which is also pretty cool. Maybe you just want to bet your winnings, let those winnings ride. And you say, okay, if I win my first half total bet, I then want to bet my second half total at this amount. So that's a pretty cool thing that's going on right now. We're going to stay a little bit away from like the in-game betting and the live odds. That's more, much more advanced and much more like you got to either be sitting right there in Vegas, which is an even smaller percentage of our current listenership, or you have to have a dedicated offshore account that's willing to do some in-game wagering.
Right, right. Yeah. And the one thing I will say there, you know, you kind of touched upon it, is I definitely like getting in on those first quarter totals, you know, those first half bets. Just getting some sort of action, you know, on those early derivatives can really be a lot of fun. You know, I personally think the more action that you have early on in the game, the more fun it just ends up being. I think the more fun your night ends up being, you know, if you end up winning or losing, you just start off engaged in the game right away. And, you know, it just seems to be really just a whole lot of fun. You know, one thing I did want to mention was, you know, about the Patriots. They scored 0 points in the first quarter. I want to say like 4 out of the 7 Super Bowls, I think I saw it was. And, you know, for them to have their highest scoring half be the second half, that's one of the props that I'm going to be looking at here later on for that reason. But, you know, if you want to bet, for example, that they're not going to score that many points as they've shown a history of doing, like you mentioned, James, you can just let it ride. I mean, it's fun to say let it ride too. So it's, you know, you kind of get that added bonus. So, but you know, it completely agree, a lot harder to, you know, to do parlays. You just kind of have, everything's got to go your way, you know? So it's, I tend to like things, you know, when they're related. So that kind of works out. If you think a certain game script's going to play out, you might have a couple of things kind of stack up, in your favor, where you could actually hit, you know, a parlay on one play, for example, or, but you know, it is a lot harder to do. So, one thing I do like, we'll be referencing Bovada throughout the show. So, we're going a little offshore style here for you guys, but, one thing, you know, teases and things like that, they get you away from the standard lines that you see of the 48.5 total, or as we speak here, this is a 4.5 favorite for the New England Patriots. This is a way where you can actually get, you know, from a line that you don't really like to maybe a more favorable line that you do like, or a more contrarian line. If you're looking for a different payout or, you know, a bigger payout, you'll see, typically a lot of sharp bettors. A lot of people that do this professionally will kind of go in and put their money in there and do what they think is going to happen. Not necessarily a large amount. They're not scared to do like a large amount of money to win a little bit. And, whereas you're more casual bettors, John Q. Public's going to kind of go in there and do, like a little to try to win a lot. But the teases are cool. They can kind of give you a different spread. Like we mentioned, this one's at 4.5 right now. Some decent line movement, James. We saw this open 6.5. We were down 2 points very quickly from some very big, early money coming in. We mentioned a lot of the sharp bettors. What they do influences the line of these games. This is the biggest game of the year. There's no other NFL to bet on after this. You may have bet on the Pro Bowl last week, which in that case, I don't really know what to say. yes, there is help out there. Seek it. We already know that there's a lot of this this early money here and a lot of line movement. With that being said, James, and this kind of alludes to one of the bets that you're going to be talking about later on, you can kind of hedge a little bit, if you are getting some of that early, first half bets and things like that, you can kind of hedge some of your bets that may not be going so well. If you're betting on someone to go, for example, a quarterback, Brady or Foles to throw, over their allotted, prop bet totals, and they're not looking like they're gonna hit that number, whatever the case may be, you can kind of get some other action, the other way if you'd like as well, as a way to kind of, hedge your bets, as they say. This is the true meaning and where it comes from. But, is that on prop bets? The one thing I will say, which we'll talk about later, the bookkeepers don't really focus a lot of their attention on these. And there's so many, they throughout the regular season, they won't really throw a lot of time on these and just kind of throw them out there. I feel like there's a huge edge in betting props during the regular season, if you're in tune to what the teams are doing. Of course, this being the biggest game of the year, they pay a little more attention, but there's so many props out there, James. We're going to talk about prop bets here in a minute. There's also, some other ways, game-wise, not just betting to enjoy the game. And we want to talk about some of those as well before we get too far into the betting aspect of it. Talking about things like Super Bowl squares, Yahoo is actually offering some Super Bowl squares this year. Did you get in on any of that, James? Are you a Super Bowl squares kind of guy?
I'm not a huge Super Bowl squares kind of guy, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I have enough outlets for my gambling, fix already. They're a lot of fun. Typically you see them as kind of like office party things, and I don't work at a large enough office to really generate, like I'd buy up 97 of the 100 squares if that were the case, unfortunately, which makes it a lot less exciting than when you only have like two or three. If you've got a big group of people and you're going to be able to sell out 100 squares, like that's a really fun way. And I'm really glad to see like Yahoo's doing that, because it's a perfect venue when you see all the different fantasy options. Like, oh yeah, sure, you can very easily get 100 people involved on an online squares pool as opposed to trying to do like an in-person squares pool. It's a lot like an NCAA bracket in that sense. What I do like to do, because just about everybody has a Super Bowl party, and this goes back to what you were saying about getting people involved and getting them involved early, you can print out prop sheets, and there are places that allow you to make your own custom prop sheets, and you can even hack them together a little bit. You can print off, we keep referencing Bovada, but like you can generate your own what's called a bet slip, and you can put, 20 or 25 of what you think are going to be popular props. And you can just print that off, and you're going to have 20 people over, print off 20 of them or 25, because people are going to make mistakes, have everybody toss in 5, 10, whatever, and write their name on the top. And as the game goes on, go ahead and keep track, keep a master list, and then at the end of the game, everybody kind of sees how they did. It's a little bit more involved. With ones like that, I really got to stress that you want to find props that are very easy to figure out. Like, we talked about betting the national anthem. If you're going to do the over-under, have an official timer for the over-under. It requires a little bit more organization when you're going to take care of it yourself. Thankfully, the internet is here to solve all of our problems. If the, you know, a couple days before the internet, if you just Google like top 50 prop sheet, there are multiple sites out there that are reputable that will say, here is a list of, you know, 25, 30, 50 prop bets. And it comes in a PDF form. You print that off and then they give you a link. And at the end of the Super Bowl, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes afterwards, they print the answers and they print what actually happened so that you don't have to keep track of what those individual bets are. And those, if you're going to, whether you go with that one or if you go with your own, be sure to have like nice little checkpoints along the way. Like, you don't want them all dependent on the end of the game, because if the game starts to get out of hand, people are going to stop paying attention. So have like some first quarter ones, have some second quarter ones, have some halftime ones. Like, what song is Justin Timberlake going to come out and sing first? You know, are other people from NSYNC going to come out on the stage with him? You know, what color hat is he going to wear? Will there be a hat? You know, put a bunch of goofy stuff on there, because at the end of the day, like, those props relative to, like, you know, Rob Gronkowski over under 3.5 catches, like, you're going to have a lot more people, a lot more excited about, oh, you know, here comes Justin Timberlake, what song is he singing, as opposed to somewhere in the third quarter, Gronk getting his fourth catch. It's going to take a second for people to realize, oh, yeah, I said yes on that. So, like, make it fun, make it instant, make it something that people get involved with. And on that, like, if you want to have a separate side bet, this is something that goes on very frequently at my football gatherings. You can be your own house. So, like, when the kickoff comes, I might say something like, you know, over 3.5 first downs on this drive. And any of my friends that want to say, you know what, I'm going to take the under on that. We figure out, you know, are we putting $5 on this, even $1 on this, or a quarter on this, right? Like, or a beer, whatever. You know, just something like that to keep people kind of involved and kind of keep them keeping track of the game, so that, you know, there's some excitement, because, you know, unfortunately, and, you know, this isn't just an East Coast bias thing, not a lot of people that are going to be watching this game are going to be huge fans of the Patriots and Eagles. And the other fun thing to do for the non-football fans, everybody throws in $5. Everybody says what they think the next commercial is going to be. And they have to be somewhat specific, or, you know, if you only have 4 or 5 people over, maybe you can make it a bit more generic. But, like, somebody can say, I think the next commercial is going to be Anheuser-Busch. I think the next commercial is going to be Honda. I think the next commercial is going to be a trailer for the new Marvel movie, right? And as soon as that commercial, as soon as somebody's commercial that they have picked comes up, they win the pot. The pot resets. Everybody throws in again, and the whole thing resets.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the action on the commercials, and of course, you know, the Super Bowl is famous for theirs. People pay, you know, millions of dollars to be on the air during these breaks in action, and of course, you know, you're mentioning some of the prop sheets that people do. You know, been to the Super Bowl parties in the past, and, you know, back before the internet had, and I think I saw this on Twitter, James, that there's an app, like you mentioned, there's a, you know, website you can go to that'll just kind of help and do all the work for us, which is great. I think I actually saw there was an app that can do your props, and everybody can kind of, you know, download it and get on the same group pretty easily, which is really exciting. Couple must-haves, you know, like you mentioned, National Anthem. That's one of my must-haves on your prop bet sheet. And yes, please, if you're not going to use digital assistants in some way, somebody be an official timer before all the drinking starts. This is National Anthem. You know, you have one designated person. Do your job, people, when that's you're called upon for that. So the coin toss, absolute must. You mentioned this is pretty much the biggest coin toss of the year, you know, in the NFL season. Patriots like to go out, you know, defer. You can kind of bet on little things like that. Like you mentioned, a lot of early action. It really does make it fun. Keeps everybody involved a little more. And please, everyone, if you do this, remember to have tiebreakers, you know, especially if you have a larger gathering, If you have just have a few people over, it's probably going to be pretty easy. But you know, if you have 20 people, 30 people or plus, I mean, you got to have some sort of tiebreaker, if not two. And you want to make those things that are very specific where, you know, the closest to a specific yardage total, something like that for a random player, for example. You know, things like that. So I agree with James. You don't want to be, you know, waiting around to total up a bunch of statistical props at the end, or, you know, having ones that are super long. Don't have a super long prop bet sheet for if it's mostly casual football fans. Like if us and the super fans got together, we could probably do like a good 50 to 100 bet sheet, I'm guessing, James. But yeah, don't, you know, take it easy on your more casual fans for sure. Go ahead, bud.
I was gonna say, and you hit it right there, like make it something like countable for your tiebreaker. I remember doing or going somewhere once and the tiebreaker was Super Bowl MVP, and it's like, wait a minute, that shouldn't be a tiebreaker, because if no one gets it right, it doesn't actually break a tie and you're right back where you started.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. One thing I did want to mention I thought was really cool is FanDuel is doing this tic-tac-toe game where it has kind of a pretty cool it's bingo. FanDuel has this bingo. It's GameStop has where you get this you know, this full sheet like a bingo square, and the trick to it, the fourth quarter is your free square. So, you know, it's pretty much, if you don't get five boxes in a row, you can go horizontally as well as vertically, which is, kind of cool. So you know, you're able to do that. And if you don't get, you know, the five squares, if nobody has claimed this prize, and called bingo, there's just one button on it. And you can basically call bingo. Now I'm more than sure. I would like to see some props on this, James, like the over under for people getting, you know, a hair trigger on this bad boy. I imagine, you know, FanDuel's live scoring on the app is pretty awesome. So, I mean, they're pretty much right on top of it. So I'd imagine these squares will, you know, light up or turn neon green or something like that. Basically you just got to be paying attention. So when you get that stripe, you're on it. You know, I got a pretty solid feeling that, as sharp as people are these days when it comes to DFS and FanDuel, that, somebody will probably get on it before that fourth quarter free square. But we'll see what happens. I just thought that was a pretty cool, game this year. And I wanted to mention that one as well. And next up, we are going to bring on our guest. Again, I mentioned joining us, Chris Cheon with SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. All right, Chi, let's go ahead and swing this to you for your top five prop bets here. Again, we appreciate you stopping by here. What are you looking at here for Super Bowl 52?
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for having me on the show. I certainly love talking some prop bets because we want to get in all of the action on Super Bowl Sunday, whether that's against the spread, whether that's box pools. But the prop bets is where we could make some extra coinage. And one of the prop bets that I'm eyeing up here, I'm looking at Bovada, and I am a little bit curious about Danny Amendola as a plus 1800. That's pretty good. That's a little higher than I would expect him. So I'm a little bit curious if Vegas knows a little something, something. My concern with Amendola winning that prop is that if he's catching two or even three touchdown passes, they're giving that award to Tom Brady, probably regardless of what he wins. So your odds of Brady 110 minus 110 to win the Super Bowl MVP, very chalky. Or if you think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win, you take Nick Foles at plus 325. I do not think that's going to be the case. So, you know, I'm kind of eyeing this up here. I wouldn't say odds to win in terms of your coinage that you can win. Brady is probably a good bet there. If you have a lot of money to put down on whether will Pink forget or omit a word from the national anthem, I'm going to probably say no there. This is the biggest stage minus 700. I would imagine that is probably going to be a lock if you have the money, to, because you're going to need to spend some to make some in that one. The first touchdown score, I like Rex Burkhead at plus 1600. He's somebody certainly around the goal line that gets the work. If you think the Patriots are going to go down first, as they did in last year's Super Bowl, you could anticipate LeGarrette Blount. He got the work around the goal line. He scored the first touchdown in, I believe, the Eagles' victory against the Falcons. So I would probably go with those two. What do you guys think about that?
So I really like your Danny Amendola for the Super Bowl MVP at plus 1800, because if I remember right, he also gets involved in the special teams game every once in a while.
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious, though. Like, if you're going to do the first touchdown score, why don't just double down on the Danny Amendola love? You can get him at plus 1000 as well, considering he'll have to probably put up quite a few to get into that MVP discussion. And I also really like where you're at with those running backs. You know, New England is, you know, Tom Brady, you're not going to get a huge value, like you said, at that minus 110. But even if you want to, like, triple down, you can get the Deion Lewis, James White, and Rex Burkhead. You know, you get plus 1,000, plus 1,400, and plus 1,600. You know, you could put similar amounts down, or you can kind of have one on, like, Rex Burkhead and go, like, 50-50-25 and still, you know, basically cover the entire New England backfield if you think that first touchdown is going to be a rushing touchdown. So definitely like where your head's at on that one.
Yeah, I agree. I like the I like Burkhead. You know, typically speaking, and this is kind of going to get into one of the props that I like as well. But I do like, if I was going to pick a Patriots running back to score the first touchdown, I do like Burkhead in that situation. However, I do think that the double stack of, you know, Amendola, like you mentioned, James, that's a pretty sweet idea as well. And yeah, the pink forgetting something, yeah, it's, you know, the we're talking professionals here, so I think that's pretty solid. I like that.
Yeah, and I also was kind of thinking too that Chris Hogan, we haven't seen really a ton of him throughout the playoffs as he's been nursing that coming back from the shoulder injury. He's got some nice value as well. And I'm checking out teams versus the tight end this year. The Eagles, sort of middle of the pack. They allowed, during the regular season, at least 11.2 ESPN points, 5 touchdowns. Again, that's sort of middle of the pack. If I wanted to maybe consider Zach Ertz, the Patriots, let's see here. They have been okay against the tight end here as well, allowing 5 touchdowns as well. So right at pretty much there with the Eagles. I think the tight ends could be both a bit as well, but Ertz only at plus 1,000. And Gronk at, let's see, he is the leader above there, plus 750. So you could go there if you wanted to. I still kind of like the running backs. More passing yards in the game. I think you could take a bet on Nick Foles there. We've seen Tom Brady, you know, complete some deep throws as well, but I think really what makes him so great is his ability to just release the ball quickly. And that doesn't mean a lot of times that he'll always be racking up a ton of yardage, whereas Nick Foles, you know, he didn't really throw the ball a ton deep against the Falcons in the divisional round because of the fact that it was just windy as hell in Philadelphia. And, you know, he any quarterback probably would have struggled there. So I like that one if you're getting him at the underdog. Most rushing yards in the game, I would certainly say that I like definitely not James White, just too involved in the passing. I don't think he's getting any sort of workload. Deion Lewis at plus 150. I would like there as well, gents. And then I'm seeing the last one here. Will a special teams or defensive touchdown be scored? I'm going to say no, just because, and that's minus 230. It's, you know, if it was the days of the kickoffs where it was still, you know, further back a little bit, I would prefer that. But I think there's just too many kicks out of bounds. And maybe there's a punt return, yeah. But these are two, as you guys mentioned, professional football teams, grown men. I think that they're not going to probably have any sort of mental lapse where they're going to allow those. So those would be my top plays, boys. What you think?
I like it,
yeah,
man.
I don't think. Neither of these teams are really known for turning the ball over. So I mean, even with as good as the Eagles' defense has been, like the, you know, that's actually pretty good value for no defensive or special teams touchdowns, considering how rare they are,
yeah,
kind of in the modern day. And I like where you were going with the Brady, just kind of doing the short passes. Bovada has both the Brady, like over, I think it's 38.5 pass attempts, but you can get a little bit better value if you go over 26.5 completions. You pay a little less on the VIG, so it's -115 on the over on the completions, or it'd be about a -140 if you do over on the attempts. And throughout his playoff experience, he's almost always above both those numbers, so it's a pretty good value there. My personal favorite for the Super Bowl is if you go back to Super Bowl 42 and you take out all of the Super Bowls that Peyton Manning has played in, which last I checked, Peyton Manning is not in this Super Bowl. All of them have been decided by less than 6 points. And if you even include the three Super Bowls that the Patriots played in prior to 42, all their games have been decided by less than 6 points. So what I've done is I've gone and I'm going to put money on the Eagles to win by 1 through 6 inclusive, and that's +425. I'm also going to put money on the Pats to win for 1 through 6 at +300. So, you know, if the Pats win by that margin, I make a little bit less. You know, I only make about 300 on that. Whereas if the Eagles were to win, I'd make, you know, 4.25. So it's, you know, it gives me a nice 12-point range for the game to be for the game to finish within. And I like the odds that I'm going to get on that. I also, I'm just a fan of, like, making the game more exciting. So, like, I can bet the, you know, there won't be another snap by another player, but that's a little less fun. But I'm going to go for the lead change in the second half and say, yes, there will be. That's a +135. All the games in the playoffs this postseason featuring the Eagles and the Pats have been relatively close. You know, you can throw out the Minnesota game last week, but, you know, it's just kind of ripe for a good, you know, a good close game. And that also feeds into the 1 through 6 margin of victory there. And then I also got the largest completion for Foles at over 37.5. I mean, you've got the running backs out of the backfield that the Patriots haven't done a great job of defending. You know, as you can see from, you know, Blake Bortles actually putting up some pretty good numbers last week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, at this point. And they have Torrey Smith. So, I mean, that's basically, you know, I'm betting on Torrey Smith getting one catch this game by saying that Nick Foles will have a completion of over 37.5. And my last one that's football related is that there will be a successful 2-point conversion. That's a +225. Super Bowls always have some wacky going on thing, whether it's a safety or, you know, at least a 2-point attempt. And like I said, you know, I'm going to use this to kind of cheer for something fun. As kind of my off the wall ones, there is the, will Trump get mentioned in the broadcast at +110? I mean, it's better than 50-50 shot that he's going to be mentioned on the national news on any given day. And you telling me that I can get better than 50-50 odds on that? Sure, I'll take that. And if you want to kind of extend your degenerate gambler dollar, there's a great one on there for what will be more, the points scored by the winning team or the number of gold medals won by the U.S. Olympic team. I'm going to go U.S. Olympics just because I feel like, you know, we're due for about 30 to 35 medals. That's about what we average for any given Winter Olympics. And I think that the winning team will be right in that upper 20s, maybe lower 30s number.
Sneaky way to sneak the Olympic play in there.
Yeah, and it's just the gift that keeps on giving, man. You can throw down $100 and be entertained through, let's see, they start February 8th and they go on for like 2 weeks, man. So that's a good value, Brett, value bet, and it gets you to watch the Olympics too.
Right. Excellent. I wanted to just real quick go through and get your opinion on the odds that you think maybe Gronk could end up as the MVP.
Well, I think that Gronk and the hit that he applied a few weeks earlier that got him suspended is still sort of fresh on anybody's mind. Now, if the guy goes out and catches 3 touchdowns and the Patriots win 24-17 and he's the recipient of all of those, yes, then I think it'd be a hard case to make against him. And I'm not saying that the incident a few months or weeks ago will weigh on that, but I think it does a little bit. You know, I don't know that this guy wants to necessarily be glorified by the NFL right away, considering that the NFL caught a lot of heat that his suspension was not as strong as some maybe would have liked him to. So that's probably one that I'll be laying off of. But in, you know, the DraftKings and FanDuel contest that they'll be having, I will certainly like to have some exposure there, because I think that Brady is always going to look to Gronk constantly, and he would have had a probably huge game if he didn't get hurt in the AFC Championship. And the Patriots could have won by more than that. But a Brady to Gronk connection is the most potent one from that offensive standpoint. So he's certainly going to be involved. But I don't know. I think that the hit that he had, that hurt the standing. Do you think that's an outrageous thought?
No, I just kind of wanted to, you know, pick your brain on that one real quick. And I know you got to get going here shortly. Last thing, you know, where can people find you on Twitter?
I am at the Big Cheese Show on Twitter, and I am a new member of Fantasy Insiders. So I will be having some work there, hopefully, as baseball season approaches, and I'd love to talk to you guys again. If you guys are a big, I know that, I'm assuming so, if we're sitting here talking, prop bets, that we'll keep the action going all year. So, when we start talking baseball, you guys hit me up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for stopping by, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right. You take care, bros.
Take care.
Yeah, man. I don't know what's more exciting, pitchers and catchers reporting or win totals being announced.
Right on.
All right, and I just realized in here, James, that I never went through my prop bets, but I know I did tease one a little bit earlier. We're talking about I noticed this weird stat that the Patriots have scored 0 points in the first quarter, 4 out of the 7 Super Bowls here that they played in, and how many games start off slow with the Patriots, and then, you know, next thing you know, it's hitting the total or you know, going over in a quick way. Therefore, I really do like the second half, highest scoring half for the Patriots. I think that's about as solid of a bet as you can get at 145 as far as teams and the way they're going to score points. That, with the exception of, you mentioned, James, one thing I think in the manner of scoring points, you mentioned, you know, maybe some total. Can't remember if we discussed this here with Chi, and I forget. But the total touchdowns and field goals, I know you like that one. I do know that we were talking about you like the total field goals. Was it over 4 or 4.5 on that?
Well, so I'm. This kind of goes back to the whole like 1 through 6 on both sides of it. You know, I'm kind of playing both sides on that. So the over under is set at 48.5, and what makes me nervous about all of this, and you know, I'm not super excited about either of these bets, but when you put them together, like if you're going for the 48.5, as you mentioned, the Patriots are slow to score. Not only are they slow to score, but typically they're very low scoring in all of their Super Bowls. You know, they've had, like last year, you took it overtime, but you take out that 34 point overtime game, and in their 7 Super Bowls or 6 other than that, they only have one other game above 30 points. So, I mean, these are typically slower, and, you know, kind of takes a little bit of time to get everybody's feet under them. But I really like both the total TDs over 5.5 and then the total field goals over 4.5. And only because you kind of have to get to that 48.5 points somehow. I almost got burnt on the total TD bet when I did Minnesota and the Saints. And it took that miracle, miracle play at the end.
Hero cover. Like,
yeah. Not only the hero cover, but like I'm sitting there. I was the biggest Minnesota Vikings fan for about 45 seconds there. Just like, oh my God, I've written off this bet, but I'm gonna win anyway.
But
a strange feeling. And whenever I'm looking at these bets, I always want to say, like, in a moment like that where everybody is celebrating, do I want to be that one guy in the back that's like, oh, that was the greatest play I've ever seen. That really sucks. And so, no, I don't want to be that guy. So, like, man, chuck up Hail Marys, chuck up 60-yard field goals at the end of the half, whatever. I'll take the over on the 5.5 touchdowns, over on the 4.5 field goals. I understand they're probably not going to hit, or, you know, maybe only one is going to hit at best, but you know, I'll do that and I'll cheer for scoring in the game. And, you know, nobody's going to begrudge me because I'm sitting there like, no, I got the under. Stop moving the ball.
Right, right. Okay. So you do like the over on the total touchdowns then.
But I will begrudgingly take the over on the touchdowns. Now, Bovada has, like, you can pick over 4.5, over 5.5, over 6.5. All it's going to do is adjust, you know, what your odds are. I think if you did over 6.5, it's something like plus 375. Over 5.5 touchdowns is plus 140. I'm sorry, plus 120. You know, it's not great, but, you know, I really did not like the under on that side, and I did not like the odds I was getting at over 4.5 touchdowns, because that was basically a minus 2.25, minus 250. And same goes with the over under 4.5 field goals. Like, you can get over 3.5, you can get over 5.5, but all it's going to do is it's going to shift those odds that you get. And you know, I try and keep my bets as close to, you know, the 50-50 mark, which is, you know, the minus 110 to plus 110 mark, because that's where you're going to get any semblance of value in these props, because, you know, they're not true 50-50 measures. And then as you get further away from things like, you know, is the safety going to be the first score of the game? You're only getting like 6-1 on that. And yes, it's happened a lot in recent memory, but the odds of a safety being the very first score of the game are not 6-1. You know, that implies that happens roughly, you know, roughly 15% of the time. And that's just simply not the case. So if you're going to try and get some value, you got to stay near that 100 mark, you know, minus 110 to plus 110.
Yeah, I completely agree. I like a lot of the prop bets during the season, like I mentioned. But, you know, when you get to the Super Bowl, there's so much action going on. I mentioned a lot of books don't spend a lot of time on these. However, they are smart enough to, you know, shave or stack the odds in their favor with different, much more different than they may feel how the game is going to go. So like you mentioned, James, it's kind of, you know, you want to know your wheelhouse here. One thing I will say, I actually don't like the total field goals bets on the higher end, just because these teams do have a tremendous red zone efficiency. So I think we could see, you know, a lot of touchdowns late. And for that matter, to piggyback off that, I do like, you know, that there will be a score in the last 3.5 of the game. That one's a minus 160, but I mean, it's the Super Bowl. I mean, these are two, you know, teams that are here for a reason. Unless it's an absolute blowout, which I don't see happening. I mean, that's the only way I don't think that bet hits. But
even in a blowout, you're going to get that team, you know, down two or three scores, just chucking it deep. You know, they may get one or two garbage time touchdowns just because, you know, that's what it's going to be. I really like that approach as far as like trying to bet, you know, there will be a score in the last 3.5. If you don't think there's going to be, you know, a lot of field goals, they also have props on like longest field goal, or like field goals of different ranges. So, you know, in your vision of this game, would it make more sense? Because I think the longest field goal or over/under for a field goal is like 37.5 yards. So what do you think about that? Maybe doing an over 37.5, and then you can still get like the minus 120 or the minus 110 on that.
Well, for the reason that you mentioned, like even if, you know, somebody gets, you know, into a blowout or something like that, you know, you could do something like that even from a receiving standpoint. So I absolutely like, there's just so many correlations that you can do when it comes to props. You know, if you do want to parlay some things together, you know, more power to you. But I do like, you know, kind of stacking some of these, you know, like you mentioned the double stack with Amendola on the scoring, you know, some of these props with the, you know, this, like if Torrey Smith, you mentioned, he, you know, one long pass to Torrey Smith. Let's say it's like, you know, the Eagles are down and they're trying to come back and, you know, they hit a 40 yard touchdown or something like that. You know, or a long play that sets up that scoring drive in the last 3:30. I mean, a lot of these things are very interrelated, and it just kind of matters, you know, how you think the game is going to go. That's basically not what the books are doing. They're doing what's going to make them, you know, get the most money and things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can do this. I do like that approach. I also like that you had mentioned, some of these things where, you know, you've mentioned Foles completions. I think there you casually mentioned there will be some receptions to the running backs out of the backfield. In that manner, I think you could honestly look at both Corey Clement and Deion Lewis, their receiving yardage. I really like both of those just because I think they're both going to see work in the passing game. You know, I can't see James White just exploding like he did last Super Bowl. You know, last Super Bowl, there was just a very, very unique game, a game for the ages. You know, the only overtime game, I believe, was it not, James?
Yep, only one so far.
You know, and for that reason, I do like the no overtime bet, even though that's just so much juice. If you are one of those guys that can, you know, I mean, this you should be doing this to have fun, obviously, but, you know, if you do want to throw down, if you're one of those guys that's not afraid to risk a lot to win a little, I feel like that's another sure thing. I personally, you know, it cannot throw down, but that's, you know, so you see it some places, you know, -700, somewhere in that range. They're all pretty much around the same, but yeah, I like, I also like one, want to kind of get your opinion on this one. This is pretty much the last one I have, and then we'll kind of get into our obligatory MVP and first player to score a touchdown talk here. But I actually like most first downs for Philly with 145 plus 145, just because I feel like, you know, New England always plays that bend but don't break style of defense. They have given up yardage. You know, that's something that they do. You know, both of these teams being so good in the red zone as well. You know, they have a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of playmakers. They have a lot of, you know, good people at skill positions. So therefore I think that they are going to get the most first downs. I just think we're going to see one of those long plays, on a short scoring drive from Patriots, like a quick hitter, you know, bomb to Cooks. I do think they'll connect on either one of those, or like a bomb to Gronk, something like that. You know, like Chi mentioned, Philly's middle of the road when it comes to their defense of the tight end. So I definitely think it'd be easy for one of them to get loose. You know, you guys kind of, he mentioned Hogan and Amendola as well. I mean, it's not hard for them to hit, you know, for me to see, you know, Hogan, getting, you know, a long touchdown as well. So you could see something like that. And then it's just basically, you know, Philly trying to run the ball more. I think it's going to be a little harder for the Patriots to run the ball. So therefore I don't think they will necessarily have as many methodical drives. I think it's going to be a lot of more chunky passes and things like that, where they're getting less first downs, but moving down the field, you know, a little quicker. So, and then the last thing I'll say here, James, is you had mentioned like the safety bets and things like that. Just to put it into perspective, you know, there's a lot of teams that play college football, and in all of the college football games that were played this year, found an interesting nugget that there were only 49 safeties throughout the entire season. And of course you didn't see, you know, a safety or a defensive touchdown in the championship game, and some very, very similar props for this game as well. So just, those are probably ones I'm going to stay away from as well. I don't like either of those instances to happen. But let's talk about our MVPs and our people who we think are going to score the first TD, or James.
Yeah, but I mean, real quick, I really like that, you know, your first down thing. I mean, it's not a perfect metric for teams there, especially two teams that are very evenly matched, which, you know, if you're in the Super Bowl, you're somewhat evenly matched. And it comes down to just one game, kind of a crapshoot. If you're getting, you know, plus 145, plus 150 on a team, like, that's it goes exactly right back to what you were saying. Like, if you can have one methodical drive where all of a sudden you rack up five or six first downs on just a single drive, you may not necessarily, you know, you may only get a field goal out of it. You may end up with a turnover on it. You know, it's not outcome dependent in so much as, you know, the final score. And a great example last week was the Jaguars. I keep saying last week because it's Monday and it really was just a week ago. But the Jaguars, Patriots AFC title game, in that the Jaguars were right there with them with third down conversions and first downs and all these other stats that, you know, if you went out there, you could get really good odds on, you know, Jacksonville for pulling this kind of stuff off. And it's just kind of in the Patriots' nature to play these close Super Bowls. And so in a tight Super Bowl, a one possession Super Bowl, you might see those numbers, you know, converge a little bit. And if you're going to tell me that, you know, what is ostensibly a 50-50 coin flip, I'm suddenly going to get plus 150 on, you know, obviously I'm not going to win on it every single time, but if it's a true 50-50 metric and you're giving me plus 150, that's money in the long run that I'm going to make. And going back to what you were saying about like the minus 700 bets, the minus 800 bets, I'm trying to remember who exactly it was. You know, a lot of people have said it. I think I first picked it up from a very old article from Bill Barnwell when he lived in Vegas for a year and, you know, set up all of his bets for the year. And he referred to it as picking up nickels in front of the bulldozer. Like, yeah, they are really safe bets right up until the fact that they're not. And, you know, I think me and you are kind of in that same boat. Like, if you're going to tell me I can sit there and I can pick, you know, give me four $25 shots at Super Bowl MVP and four $25 shots at first touchdown, and I'm going to get 10 to 1 odds on every single one of those, or I can make one bet at minus 800 in order to win $25, like, yeah, get, you know, give me those home run swings, because I'm in it for the fun. I'm not in it for life-changing amounts of money. I'm not in it to try and make a living off of this. I'm in it to just kind of have a little bit of fun with it. And that's ultimately what we're doing here. I treat this as entertainment. And as a result, this kind of comes out of an entertainment budget for me.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm the same way, man. I, you know, small time, you know, I just do this for fun. You know, it's something that, you know, let's set it up like this then, dude. Why don't you give me like your safe pick for MVP, and then give me like your contrarian pick then, like your let's hit the home run swing, like you just said.
Right. So, I mean, I kind of touched on this with Chris, like for Super Bowl MVP, there's no economical reason for me to pick Tom Brady. He's minus 110 right now. That means that he's going to win Super Bowl MVP about 54% of the time in order for me to make money on that bet long term. And, you know, whether it's Tom Brady fatigue, whether it's Patriots fatigue, whether it's, you know, name 100 different other things, like, yeah, Tom Brady should be the runaway favorite. Nick Foles should be second. That should, you know, that's just from the nature of the game. But like, if you get a 2-touchdown game from Brandon Cooks, I could easily see that going over to Brandon Cooks. If all of a sudden the running game is more involved, and this going back to your whole hedging discussion, and what I said with Chris, give me the 3 Patriots running backs. You know, if I can get James White, Rex Burkhead, and Deion Lewis, like Deion Lewis is plus 1800 for this. Rex Burkhead is plus 6600. I mean, he's just an afterthought, right? Like, I don't even have to put a full, you know, $100 on him. I could just put like $10 on him because he's going to pay back 660 if I end up winning that bet. James White is plus 4000. So if all of a sudden Bill Belichick goes back to, and you remember this from last year and the year before, and maybe even the year before that, I'm not quite as in-depth as Pod and Patrick on my Patriots history, but Bill Belichick has always made a star of LeGarrette Blount one game out of the playoffs. And so if he decides that, you know what, James White's going to get 3 touchdowns this game, and he's a plus 4,000 or a 40-1 favorite for the Super Bowl, you know, put me in line for that, as opposed, you know, is that any more absurd than Tom Brady throwing for 3 touchdowns? Like, for him to get that MVP, he's going to have to throw 3 touchdowns, maybe a pick, probably not even a pick, 300 yards, and he's going to have to spread those 3 touchdowns out to 3 different receivers. So, you know, give me the Patriots backfield, and I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, those are all you made a good point. The fact that you can be really casual, and we're referencing Bovada, And, you know, when I mentioned offshore, of course, we're talking about sites that you can go to, not, you know, like waiting in line in Vegas, which, by the way, you know, if you go, you might, you know, if you're, let's say you're listening to this on your flight to Vegas, you know, you're going to want to probably just get your bets in when you get there. You know, I mentioned letting some early action ride and kind of getting in on some of those first half, those props and whatnot. And if, you know, if you are, I mean, there's going to be line at the sports book if you're going up at halftime. So, be conscious of that. You know, if you are playing these, the good thing, James, is that, you know, you mentioned the Viking Saints play. If you were in Vegas, would you or would you have not torn up the betting slip? And how glad are you that you electronically, you know, couldn't do that and still were able to cash?
Well, I mean, you know, it's always good to have somebody else responsible for my bet slips on more than one occasion. You know, just, how many of us have lost a receipt in our life? Like, yeah, and you know, maybe you went up and made an ill-advised bet at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. and you know, just kind of left it somewhere. It's no big deal, really. Honestly, if you're going to Vegas for the Super Bowl, you know, more power to you. Hit up, like, everybody's going to go to, like, the MGM Grand because that's one of the better sports books. If you want to stay on the Strip, you can actually go to Mandalay Bay. They have a moderately good sports book that is kind of it's way at the end of the Strip, so it's not quite as well patroned as others, but they're all going to have Super Bowl watch parties. You know, go to downtown, get a little bit of, or, you know, off Fremont, get a little bit of, kind of the downtown action. They're all going to have, I already mentioned, they're all going to have their private Super Bowl parties. If you want to go to Vegas for a true, like, betting action, wait a month and a half and go for either the first or second weekend of the NCAA tournament. Like, this is fun for the prop bets. It's fun for the parties, but like you can always get fun parties in Vegas. If you want to go and just like veg out on sports, like the weekends to, or the times to go are like NCAA when there's 1,000 games going on. And that's when you can get the full experience of those sports books. There's not just like one game. You can maybe get it like the first week of the NFL season or second week of the NFL season where they've got the full 16 slate of games and they've got the, you know, 8 or 9 simultaneous game morning games going. But yeah, kind of to each their own on that.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of my bucket list things is getting out there for March Madness. But it's a football podcast, so we'll wrap this up. I'll give you my quick thoughts on MVP. The reason I asked Chi about Gronk, he was aware of the Eagles kind of just being, you know, meh when it comes to tight ends. And I do think that for that reason, I feel like Gronk's going to catch a couple and, you know, he's going to get in the box. And, you know, I kind of like him as kind of a safer play. You know, if we want to go home run, I could see, you know, say like a clutch pick six late in the game from somebody like, you know, Malcolm Jenkins or something like that. If this game gets turned on its head and the Eagles win it. You know, or even somebody like Trey Flowers, you know, if somebody gets like 3 sacks. And the one thing I tell you I'm not going to do, James, I'm not going to touch Nick Foles. I know she said, I think it was 325. I can't touch Nick Foles, man. Like, I believe all of his games that he's played since he took over for Carson Wentz have been at home. I want to say they had, what was it, the 2 home games. And then he didn't get much action, I don't believe, week 17. And then, of course, they had 2 home games in the playoffs. So this is like his first road game this year. I know he's not a rookie or anything, but he's never been through the Super Bowl hype as much of the Eagles have. But, you know, with that being said, I do like, and she had kind of touched on my first TD bet. I like Blunt for the revenge TD, quite honestly. The Patriots start a little slow. I could see him getting down 7-0 early. So for that matter, I do like Blunt to get the first TD. But, you know, keep in mind, for MVP and first TD, these are like the most popular prop bets out there. I personally don't like them. But, again, they are the most popular, and therefore I feel like the odds makers kind of really shave the the odds for the payouts on those. But Anything else that you wanted to add or anything else, any disclaimers that you wanted to make here, James, before we sign off?
Well, I'm sure there should be some disclaimer in here somewhere, but the...
yeah, we're not professionals.
The one thing, yeah. Unless, you know, if your bets win and you want to make a charitable contribution, we will accept those. We are not a 529C. However, we will still accept those charitable contributions. as far as like going back to that Super Bowl MVP and what we've talked about the whole time about the Patriots, like in these low scoring Super Bowls, Fletcher Cox is, you know, 3,300, you know, I don't really like that because, you know, it's been a long time. Well, not really a long time, that Seahawks Patriots Super Bowl where a defensive player won the MVP. But like, if you look at, he's the only defensive player that's not at, you know, 10,000 to one. And to kind of give you an idea of what that means is Jake Elliott and Steven Gaskowski, who are the kickers, are plus 6,600. So you're telling me that a kicker is 66 to one to win the MVP. Fletcher Cox is 33 to one. So fine, whatever, you know, that's fine. You know, but like Malcolm Butler plus 10,000. You know, James Harrison plus 10,000. Like, I would never bet on, you know, James Harrison, but maybe you're a Super Steelers fan. Hey, you know, good on you. But if you think that this is going to be like some big defensive struggle and you don't want to bet on one of the, you know, quarterbacks, you don't have to win every single bet to make money. Plus 10,000 is an insane number. 66 to 1, 100 to 1 is an insane number. You can go there and you can basically pick 12 to 15 defensive players at 10 bucks a pop and cover the entire defensive spread. So like if it's a low scoring game, you've got that covered. And then you can turn around and you can bet $110 on Tom Brady. Probably be right because that's just life and we don't deserve good things. And, you know, still end up right around even, maybe money ahead if this turns into a low-scoring Super Bowl and all of a sudden, you know, let's pick this guy, Malcolm Jenkins, you know, he's plus 10,000. Malcolm Butler, they're both plus 10,000. You pick them both, put 10 bucks on both. They're 100 to 1. You win $1,000 on that $10 bet if they happen to pop.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of my favorite things to do. For the sake of math, let's say if we're going into this thing with $1,000, you know, you're putting in all your bets. I mean, you could literally take your last $50, like you mentioned, you know, and take even just $5 because Bovada will let you do something like that. And, you know, throw a couple, you know, these home run props. I mean, you could actually, if one of them hits with one of these small $5 bets, I mean, you could actually recoup everything you lost if you had a terrible evening on one play. So very good, very good. I don't really think there's anything that I want to add here. James, I did, however, want to say thanks again to Chris Chian for stopping out. Of course, Chris at WTOP in DC, 103.5 FM, also Sirius XM Fantasy Sports Radio. And again, congrats to him on the new gig at Fantasy Insiders. Of course, a part of Roto Grinders. And don't forget, guys, to leave us a review for our podcast. We sure would appreciate it. James, thanks again for stopping out and going over all of the action here for our betters episode of Super Bowl 52, my friend.
No, thank you so much. And, you know, here's hoping for a good game, a fun game, and some, you know, secondary income.
Yes, absolutely. And yeah, good bailing just in time. My voice is failing heavily if you haven't noticed. And James, I will see you at our Fantasy Dynasty Draft here in the offseason, my friend. Take care and best of luck, sir.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.